Great afternoon. Welcome once again to another podcast for the encouraged one, that being you. You are the encouraged one. That is my hope. That is my desired outcome. That is my expectation. That is my faith. That is my belief that at the end of this, that you will be encouraged to act on that which this podcast episode is about. So today, as you all know, it is a very significant day. It's a very special day. It's a very honorable day. It is none other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This is a federal holiday, a day in which many, not all, are off work in hopes, presumably, that those that are off would do something with their time that honors the work of Dr. Martin Luther King and his allies. Let me say that when we celebrate him, we celebrate all the unsung heroes. I can't list all those names. I've seen videos, I've read things. I don't remember them by heart. In part, we can blame that on our upbringing as far as the education that we received in school and even outside of school. Time is of the essence, and so we still have the opportunity to learn about these unsung heroes, those who worked alongside Dr. Martin Luther King, those who were his advisors, his mentors, his intercessors, those that worked administratively, you know, with paperwork and other administrative things as far as feeding people, feeding the protesters, you know, paying the bail bonds, and repairing homes for those that were vandalized or broken into or damaged, you know, or even destroyed. So today, my topic today, I already understand from much reflection that my topic today and what I'm going to say may be controversial, very unconventional. It is not the norm, but I do believe that we live in a time, and history speaks for itself, that when we don't do the norm, that's when great things happen, greater things happen. So the history makers that we have read about, that we grew up knowing, the ones that we come across now, if we really look into their lives, they did the very thing that I'm talking about. They did something unconventional that was not the norm. Something that was contrary to what society was asking, that in which society felt that was comfortable for them. And so today my topic is this: stop marching, make better moves. Yeah, I said it. Stop marching, make better moves. So I'm really not the biggest fan of marches as of today. And the reason is because the marches of my day, the marches of these days, okay, for face value, it raises awareness, or is supposed to raise awareness, that there are people that care about a certain issue, and that they care about it so much that they're willing to walk a certain distance and go to a certain destination, have a rallying point, have a empowering speech, and then go back to doing business as normal. And so I believe that there is a lack of knowledge and or understanding and wisdom when it comes to knowing the history of marches when it came to the civil rights. Now, from what I recall, when Dr. Martin Luther King and his allies, when they did the bus boycott, that was a march. Okay. And that march was very intentional. It was very targeted. It was unexpected. Okay. And so with the bus boycott, which I believe was called the Montgomery bus boycott. Please forgive me if I have that exact title incorrect, but I know there was a bus boycott. You know there was a bus boycott. Now you know. And so what this bus boycott did was it was taking a stand against a community service that was supposed to be provided for the community, but it was provided in an unequal and unequitable way. And so in these buses, you still had paying patrons, customers, black and white, in which only whites could sit in the front and blacks had to sit in the back. Now, both black and white use the same money. They use the same coin. But the change from that transaction was given differently. So even if you had a black patron, a customer that was disabled, okay, they still had to walk to the back and sit back there instead of sitting up in the front to reduce the amount of walking. Okay. So with the bus boycott, what that did was it halted the revenue that the bus company was making. It disrupted a practice. Okay. It interrupted an expectation that you need this bus is here, give me your money and just get on the bus and do as you are told, which is go to the back. Okay. And so that act, that march, it affected the economy. Okay. It caused a ripple in the revenue that was coming in. Okay. All right. And so with that being said, with everything that I've said about what these marches did back in the civil rights time, okay, all right, I do not believe that our marches are doing that. Our marches that we do on this day, they're planned, okay? They don't interrupt anything, okay? Because they're so planned, okay? It is not stopping, it is not causing a ripple in the revenue. It's not dividing the Red Sea. Okay. All right. It is simply a gathering saying, we still care. But even after that, we're going back to doing business as normal. And so, to a degree, I believe that these marches of these days, okay, are a waste of time if we are not willing to be more unconventional and be willing to disrupt processes and cause a rip in revenue and interrupt expectations. Okay? All right? And so, what I believe, if you ask, well, you know, what do you suggest that we do instead of doing these marches on MLK Day? These marches, not just the bus boycott, but these marches were marching as a result of saying, we are tired of this. We are tired of having to go through the back of a restaurant. We are tired of having separate water fountains that come from the same plumbing system. We're tired of having to sit in restaurants and not be served until all white patrons are served, or to sit in restaurants and have ketchup and drinks and sandwiches intentionally poured on us and rubbed on us, and racial slurs and verbal abuse and emotion abuse be spewed out. Okay. So, as a result of this, I believe that what we should do, not just as a Black community, but a community of people that truly believe in what equality is, what inequality is, what diversity is, what it should look like. So what I believe is that on days like this, we should do something that I've done before, which is, I believe that we should go into restaurants that currently today, typically, normally, traditionally, is the standard that it is only served by white patrons. Served to white patrons. Okay. So what I did, something that I've done before, is I've gone into restaurants in which are neighborhoods in which is predominantly white people there. And I would go in there and give them my business. I wouldn't just be taking up space. I would give them my business. I would eat there. I would tip well. Okay. All right. Because the message is communicating that I am here because I can. I'm here because I have a right to. I'm here because my dollar at some point is going to be your dollar. And at some point, your dollar is going to become my dollar. Okay. All right. And so I believe that these are the kind of acts that we need to do. Go into these communities, because now if we really increase our awareness, we will see, okay, that we are living in times in which there is gentrification taking place. And gentrification is taking place because there is a substantial increase of the Black and brown population in communities and areas in which previously it was predominantly white. And so gentrification is taking place, okay? White communities are ironically transferring to other areas. They're building new subdivisions. They're moving out of the area to other areas that reflect their comfort zone as it relates to diversity and inclusion. And so we, I believe, as Black people and our allies, that we need to go into these restaurants, okay? We need to go into these businesses and dine in. You know, Cardi B, as interesting as she is, okay? And her song, Bodak Yellow, okay? She says, I don't dance. No, I make money moves. And that's a very powerful statement, because I believe these dances, of these marches that we have of these days, these past few years, okay, to some degree, they're just dances. And as we understand that a dance is at a place where we can, just relax, quote unquote, let our hair down, breathe, take a break from the stresses of the day of work, but in the end, a dance is just entertainment. A dance is just entertainment. We are entertaining ourselves. We're entertaining others. We are having fun. We are in a carefree moment. And so we have to ask ourselves, are the marches that we're doing today, is it just a dance? Is after the music stops, are we going back to doing business as usual? Is what we're doing today, is it causing a ripple in revenue? Is it communicating a message that demands it to be thought-provoking to the recipients, to the observers, to the opposition, to the obstacles? Okay, so just really think about that. Really think about that, you all. Okay. Do something different. We got to start doing something different. Okay? All right? Yes, I am a very strong advocate of supporting Black-owned businesses. Yes, I do believe that. So let me also say another way is also supporting Black-owned businesses today. Okay? All right? Because back then, the Black-owned businesses were few and far between, and those that were, it was important for the Black community to support it, and give their money, give their revenue, to these Black-owned businesses. Okay, all right, because the white-owned businesses were not providing those services, those goods, to the Black citizens of those cities and states. Okay, so that is another way we are making better moves, that we're not marching. We're making better moves by supporting these Black-owned businesses. Okay, so you all, let's do that today. Okay, let's stop marching. Let's stop dancing. Okay? All right. Let's make better moves.